peace with God.
What have you challenged yourself to do recently? Maybe losing weight, starting your day earlier, getting out of debt. Billy Graham says, how about a spiritual challenge?
A challenge to change the lives of men and women. Take the loneliness away. Take the sin and the guilt away. Why not the challenge to follow Jesus Christ and change the world with love instead of hate?
Wow. Get ready to be challenged on today's edition of Peace with God, an outreach of the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association. Billy Graham's not the only one issuing a challenge in today's program. So is his grandson, Will Graham.
Today, will you trust God by faith with everything in your life and allow that faith to meet all your needs?
Will's going to offer you a brief life lesson from the story of Jonah, the prophet who got swallowed by a huge fish as he was running from God. That comes up right after his grandfather's message.
Peace with God.
Find us at peacewithgodradio.org.
peacewithgodradio.org or 888-61-JESUS.
888-61-JESUS.
Today's message comes from Billy Graham's 1972 crusade in Birmingham, Alabama. Let's listen now as he challenges you to follow Jesus Christ.
Tonight I spoke by telephone to Great Britain, and there are about 1,000 people at this great banquet there, and I addressed them by telephone. And I kept saying I was in Birmingham. And they would laugh every time, and suddenly I realized the reason they were laughing was because over there they say Birmingham, not Birmingham. And I was putting the emphasis on the ham. I was thinking about my breakfast tomorrow morning. Now the fifth chapter of Acts, the fifth chapter of the book of Acts, just one phrase out of it. The scripture says in the fifth chapter in the sixth verse, and the young men arose. Tonight, I would like to see out of Birmingham, Alabama, and out of this crusade, I would like to see young men and young women arising and going forth to help change our nation and change our world. There's enough spiritual and moral power in this stadium tonight that could change the nation and change the world if we began to march for Jesus Christ. And I believe tonight the time has come for us to declare ourselves and start marching in earnest for Jesus Christ. Our hope is in Jesus Christ, the kingdom of God. That is our hope, and we have our hope anchored to that. Now, in my generation, they clashed in a war in which millions of people perished. Young people marching for Hitler. Young people marching for Mussolini. Young people marching for the people of Japan. Young people marching in America. Young people marching in Britain. All marching with guns. And they began to shoot each other. And blood splattered across this planet as it's never been splattered in history. We pray that it will not happen again in our generation. But young people are now on the move. Young people on the march. But I find in traveling among young people and talking to high school groups and college groups personally and on the campus, that young people today, there are several things that they feel and feel very deeply. I think that young people today feel that they've been deceived. They feel that somewhere along the line, we in our generation have deceived them. And then there are millions of young people that do not want the goals of their achievement-oriented parents. And there's a reaction from materialism, intellectualism, and pseudo-culturism. You see, young people cannot comprehend the inconsistencies of our generation. Affluency, while people are starving. War, violence, killing, hate. Well, young people have been deceived. But young people tonight, I want to tell you, every generation has been deceived. And especially this one, because the Bible says the devil is the great deceiver. That's his business, to deceive you. And he's called in 2 Thessalonians, he's called the lie. Jesus said he's a liar and the father of lies. The devil's business is to deceive you. He tries to deceive you, and he does in every generation by saying that you can give your life to pleasure, you can give your life to the making of money, and you can let these things be your gods and that they will satisfy you and you'll find fulfillment in them. And after a while, the bubble is going to burst. And you soon find that you're in bondage. And you soon find that you've been deceived. You are being deceived. You're being brainwashed every day by the devil. And he uses every agency in the world. Sometimes I fear even the church to deceive you. And sometimes the church is guilty of keeping you from the real Jesus, the real Christ, who can forgive and satisfy and change and transform, and who comes to love and to hold your hand and to be your friend. The devil wants to deceive you. He's called in the Bible the deceiver. You see, he deceived Eve in the Garden of Eden. He deceived her into believing that if she ate of that fruit that God had forbidden, that she would become like God. He said, "You're really not going to die. There's no judgment. There's no hell." And she believed him. She believed a lie. So the very first generation of people that ever inhabited this planet were deceived. And man's fall from God began with a deception of the devil. And Satan is deceiving you in this generation. And after a while, you can have success. You might reach the top, but there's a loneliness, there's an emptiness. You find that the power that you wanted, the money you've made, the glamour that you've had, doesn't satisfy totally and completely. Jesus said that materialism without God is disastrous. He said, "How hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God?" He said, "Beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisted not in the abundance of the things that he possesseth." The devil says, "All you need is security from the cradle to the grave and you'll be happy." I remember once that the Archbishop of Canterbury said, you know, he said, "We in the church worked hard for the welfare state and we've got it, but we found out that that didn't bring happiness and peace to the hearts of our people. There's something else. You can be rich, but if you're without God, what do you have? You have nothing." The Apostle Paul wrote to Timothy and said, "Instruct those that are rich in this world's goods not to be proud. Don't fix your hopes on the uncertain things that money can buy. Fix your hope on God." Jesus said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Put God first. God will take care of the rest. But if you put money and pleasure and power first, you're going to be deceived. You're going to come up empty. You're going to come up shorthanded. And then secondly, I find that young people, wherever I go, are frustrated by failure. And in our generation, where we have so much leisure time, you can be preoccupied with nothing. If you don't have a goal, or a motive, or a purpose, or a meaning for living, you can be preoccupied with nothingness, and you can be absolutely empty. And this leaves you depressed. The Bible says that we are sinners. Now, you know, I believe that young people need to be told the truth. And I don't think in my generation we've gotten over to them the truth. What is the truth? The truth is that you have inherited a deadly disease. And it's going to kill you. That disease is called sin. That's a disease, a spiritual disease. And the Bible says the result, the wages of sin, is death. There's absolutely no cure for your disease. It's going to kill every one of you. It is appointed unto man once to die, There's only one possible cure, one total cure. That's why Jesus Christ came down to this earth. He came and shed his own blood that a cure might be provided by God for you.
You can receive that cure right now, right where you are, by surrendering your life to Jesus. We can tell you more at peacewithgodradio.org. Just click on Grow Your Faith at the top of the page. And you know, we're also available to talk to you on the phone. Our number is 888-61-JESUS. That's 888-615-3787. You'll hear the rest of Billy Graham's message in just a moment.
Peace with God.
Peace with God.
Peace with God.
Pray. Pray for people you know who don't know Jesus. And get ready. Get ready for My Hope 2014 with Billy Graham, singer, songwriter, Matthew West.
Say, God, would you show me that one person or that one family? Show me who it is that you've put across my path and I've neglected to notice.
This November, My Hope will release Billy Graham's never-before-seen message, Heaven.
His message is timeless. God's going to move in a powerful way. I believe it.
My Hope partners with you and your church to help you share the message of Christ with your community. Learn more about it and pre-order your copy of Heaven today. Go to myhopewithbillygraham.org.
I can think of no better message or no better minister to introduce my unsaved friends to than the message of Billy Graham.
Ask God how He wants to use you, your church, and Billy Graham's message, Heaven. Pre-order your copy of it today. Go to myhopewithbillygraham.org. myhopewithbillygraham.org.
Thanks for joining us today for Peace with God. My Hope 2014 with Billy Graham is just a few weeks away from sharing the message of Jesus Christ across North America and the United Kingdom. A vital part of the outreach is pastors, and My Hope Vice President Steve Rhodes and his team are meeting with pastors on both sides of the Atlantic.
They are meetings for us to gather pastors together and to encourage them from the Bible and pray, and then to talk to them about evangelism, using My Hope as a resource to reach the community, whatever the platform, however they think it's appropriate.
Steve says the resource at the center of the My Hope outreach is a never-before-seen message from Billy Graham on heaven. That message is part of a program that also features two other people's powerful stories of God's work in their lives. The program's on a DVD that's being released November 7th, a DVD that Steve believes Christians will find very helpful.
My hope this year is to, at the most basic level, to allow Christians to share their hope in Jesus Christ with their friends, their neighbors, family, colleagues, and to give them the opportunity to simply share Jesus.
You can pre-order your copy of Heaven and learn more about the My Hope Outreach by going to myhopewithbillygraham.org. That's myhopewithbillygraham.org.
Peace with God.
Peace with God.
There's hope.
Peace with God.
Peace with God.
In today's message here on Peace with God, Billy Graham is challenging you to become a sold-out follower of Jesus Christ. But he says in order to do that, you first have to be cured of a deadly disease.
That disease is called sin. That's a disease, a spiritual disease. And the Bible says the result, the wages of sin, is death. There's absolutely no cure for your disease. It's going to kill every one of you. It is appointed unto man once to die. There's only one possible cure, one total cure. And that's why Jesus Christ came down to this earth. He came and shed his own blood that a cure might be provided by God for you. It's the only cure for the disease that we all have. You've got it whether your face is black or whether it's white, or whether it's brown, or whether it's yellow. Whatever language you speak, whether you speak with a northern accent or a southern accent, whatever you are, whoever you are, you've got the disease. And it's going to kill you. It'll kill you physically. You're going to die. It'll kill you spiritually, because when you die, your soul is going to go out into eternity lost and separated from God, according to the teachings of Jesus. A lost soul, wandering about in outer darkness, lost, lost from God, lost from your loved ones, lost from everything good and lovely and right and holy. Jesus described that situation as hell. There are many of you here tonight that are lost souls living in hell right now, a hell on this earth. But if you're outside of Jesus Christ, the Bible says you're infected with this disease. The wages of the sin is death. The soul that sinneth shall die. You're under the sentence of death. You're just awaiting the execution. There's only one cure, one serum, one medicine that'll work. God guarantees it. I know it'll work. It's worked in every generation for tens of thousands of people that have put their trust and their faith in Jesus Christ. It'll work in your case tonight if you'll trust Him. Yes, you may have a feeling of failure. So when you have this feeling of failure, what do? Some people turn to sex. I read in the paper the other day that Billy Graham said that sex was sin. That is not true. I've never said that in my life. If it were not for sex, I wouldn't be here tonight. Neither would you. The Bible teaches that sex is not sin. It's the misuse of sex that's sin. When we misuse it, the Bible says to flee fornication. The Bible says it's wrong to have sex experience outside of marriage. Let's just tell it like it is. Tell it like the Bible says it. You may not agree with it. I'm not asking you to agree with it. I'm not trying to force it down your throat. You can make up your own mind. I'm telling you, this Bible says that sex outside of marriage is a sin. And the Bible says if you commit that sin, you're going to pay for it in your body, in this life, and in the life to come. It's a sin. And then there are thousands of young people in this state of failure and this syndrome of failure commit suicide. Some go to drugs. And then there's loneliness. Young people feel a sense of failure, and so they are very lonely. An actor wrote in a national magazine last week, and he said, I've reached zero level. He said, you know, I go on the stage and I act, or I go before the cameras and I act, and they think I'm a great guy. He said, I've been nominated for the Academy Award. I've had all of the money that a man could make, but he said, when I get home, he said, I reach zero, take the mask off, and he said, I'm the loneliest guy in the world. He said, if I only had somebody's hand to hold that really loved me. I want to tell that actor tonight, you can hold the hand of Jesus. He loves you. He'll forgive you. He'll come in and be your friend that sticketh closer than a brother. He wants to come and hold that lonely hand of yours tonight. He wants to come and make you have purpose and meaning in your life. Then I think that young people are searching for a challenge. They want a challenge. That's one reason we like football. That's one reason we've gone sports crazy. We like a challenge. Man was built for a challenge. Why not also have a spiritual challenge? A challenge to change the lives of men and women. Take the loneliness away. Take the sin and the guilt away. Why not the challenge to follow Jesus Christ and change the world with love instead of hate? What a challenge we've got tonight. And then lastly, I find that young people all over the world, and the world at least that I move in among young people, they want a faith to believe, something to really believe in. Something that's intellectually logical and something that will satisfy their hearts and give them an experience. Not a drug experience, but a spiritual experience that they can experience every day. Well, I want to tell you, if you come to Jesus Christ, you've found it. Because when you come to Jesus Christ, it makes logic and it makes sense. It satisfies the intellect, though you cannot come to Christ intellectually alone. Because your mind has been affected by sin, and your mind and your judgment has been warped by sin, and you have to come by simple childlike faith. But you also have an experience. You can sense Christ. You can feel Christ. And what a wonderful thing it is all day long to have a power about you, a strength about you, a glow about you. No matter what the circumstances, maybe in a hospital room or wherever you are, and you can overcome those feelings of despair and depression and physical handicap by a greater power, the power of the Holy Spirit that comes to live within. Oh, I want to tell you, there are times that I feel Christ so very close that I feel like standing up and dancing a jig. There are times that I feel like shouting hallelujah. And then there are other times when I can't even touch Christ. I don't even feel him at all. And my mother is here tonight, and I remember when I was in school, I wrote to her one day many years ago. She's forgotten. And I said, "Mother, you know, for the last few weeks I haven't been able to get anywhere in my prayers, and I don't feel Christ." And she said, "Son, you have accepted Christ as your Savior, and whether you have feeling or not, the moments that you don't feel anything are the moments when he may be the closest, because that's the moment that you must walk by sheer faith and God may be testing you." How wonderful to have a faith to believe, a faith that could change the world, and certainly a faith that could change your world and your life. I came forward like this in a meeting one night many years ago, and I started in a whole new direction. It could happen to you.
Not sure you're ready to take that step and trust your life completely to Jesus Christ? Why not do a little exploring on our website, peacewithgodradio.org. Click on Grow Your Faith at the top of the page. That's peacewithgodradio.org. Or you can always call us at 888-61-JESUS, 888-615-3787. You can use that same phone number to get a free CD copy of today's program. You can listen back to it anytime you like or share it with someone else. All you need to do is call us and let us know you'd like the free CD of this edition of Peace with God. The number again is 888-61-JESUS, 888-615-3787.
Peace
with
God.
Find us at peacewithgodradio.org.
You just heard Billy Graham challenge you to trust Jesus completely. Now his grandson, Will Graham, tells the story of a famous prophet who didn't trust God completely.
Many of us are familiar with the story of Jonah. He was sent to a foreign country called Assyria, and more specifically, the capital called Nineveh. In Jonah chapter 1, verse 3, Jonah hears God's command to travel to Nineveh and to preach against it, but he tries to run from God. Jonah was afraid that if he went to a foreign country to preach a message of judgment, then he would be killed. Jonah failed to put his faith in God. He believed that Nineveh was more powerful than God. And because of his failure to trust in God, he fled by traveling in the opposite direction from Assyria. If we live our lives by sight, it allows fear to creep in, keeping us from living a life of obedience to God. Instead of focusing on God's desires, we become focused on our own selfish desires. Today, will you trust God by faith with everything in your life and allow that faith to meet all your needs? Live by faith and not by sight. For Peace with God, I'm Will Graham.
You know, living by faith might seem foolish to some people, but it's not trusting in God that's really foolish, as you'll hear on next week's edition of Peace with God.
You better be sure that you have prepared to meet God. Every person who is more concerned about getting some of this world's goods and leaving out the preparation for eternity is a fool. Or the person who spends their time in social climbing or having pleasure more than eternal things is a fool in the sight of God.
Please plan on joining us next week for Billy Graham's message, Whose Fool Are You? Here on Peace with God. This program is just one of the many ways the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association works to share the message of Jesus Christ with people around the world. And you can invest in that work. Go to peacewithgodradio.org and click on Give at the top of the page. Or you can make your donation over the phone. Our number is 888-61-JESUS. That's 888-615-3787. As a thank you for your gift of any amount, we'll send you a copy of Billy Graham's latest book, The Reason for My Hope, Salvation. The web address again is peacewithgodradio.org. And the phone number is 888-61-JESUS, 888-615-3787. Thanks so much for being with us for this edition of Peace with God. I'm Bill Meyer.
Peace with God is an outreach of the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association. Always good news.